At this time of year, as we are approaching Holy Week and our day-by-day walk with Jesus during the week of his passion, different things come to my mind. And just the last few days, I've made a quick trip up to the Dallas-Fort Worth area just to check in on my mother and my brother and my sister. And as I was driving back, I drove back in darkness in midday on Friday. I brought the weather here. I was right in the middle of it. It was raining and lightning and thundering all the way here. And I was driving about 30 miles an hour with my headlights on and my flasher beams on and the occasional person going 80 miles an hour. But I made it. And of all things that went through my mind, I remember a very formative moment in my life when I don't even know where I was. I was probably 8, 9, 10 years old, but I saw a magician who was also sort of a clown. He was one of the articulate clowns. He had the painting on his face and the big red nose and wore a hat, and he was articulate. And he did one trick that has stayed with me and came back, obviously, this past week. He did a card trick. And he used those big cards that sometimes you see, you know, the foot, you know, 1 foot by 8 or 9 inches that he could hold up and everyone could see. And he was doing this elaborate trick. And he was talking about the cards, and he would move them quickly, and another one would show up in his hand. And everyone, he said, now check, keep focused on this card. This is a very special card. And as he was holding it out, he turned and showed it this way. And we were all looking at the card. Then when he turned back around, people were still looking at the card, but he had somehow changed clothes. He was wearing sort of a tuxedo. And we were staring at the card. And when he turned back around, he was wearing a baseball uniform. And I was amazed and astonished by that. And I learned later that that is the classic case of misdirection. Don't look at this over here when I'm holding this out. Look over here, this side. Diverting people's eyes and ears and senses to one thing away from another. I've seen that most of my life. My entire career as a newspaper reporter, I saw it all the time. You turn on your TV set and watch any politician being interviewed, and you see misdirection. Boy, I could tell when I was interviewing someone, especially someone running for an office, when I would ask a question about something, and the politician would say, I am so glad you asked me that. Then I knew when he said that, he wasn't even going to come close to answering it. Most of the political leaders, and not just political, officials, big businesses, engage in misdirection all the time. You can ask them anything, and they're going to sound like they're going to answer, but they're not. They've got something else they want you to look at. They're going to direct your attention away from what's in your mind to what they want you to think about. Misdirection. Check it out. How many times do you see a powerful question being asked and someone saying, that is a wonderful question. My staff and I were working on it this past week, but let me tell you what's going on over here. Look way over here. Let me show you this. When we talk about this, this is on our mind today. Misdirection. It's so crucial because misdirection is what Satan does to us. Our gospel, the entire gospel message is very clear. We are to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and Him only. We are to listen to His words and obey His words and no others. And Satan gets in the middle of it and tries to confuse us. You know, he's like, what movie was it? Oh, it was The Wizard of Oz, when Toto, the little dog, pulls the curtain back on the wizard who's manipulating the big screen and the smoke and the fire, and Dorothy and her friends look and see the old man there and the wizard up there, and the first thing the wizard does, he goes, "Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Look up here, look up here. Turn your eyes here." When Satan tempted Jesus three times during the 40 days of his fasting and praying in the wilderness, Satan tried to misdirect Jesus. At the end of it, when Jesus was hungry, Satan never said, "If you are the beloved Son of God." No, he never focused on love. He just said, "If you are the Son of God, change these stones into bread." And of course, Jesus got back on point by quoting Scripture. Jesus knew his mission. And his mission, I'm always worried when I hear bells, I need to look up. If you see angels coming, let me know. But Jesus knew his mission, and brothers and sisters, that mission is ours. We are to take his mission, and he has given that mission to us, to make a difference in the world by loving the world with the love of God in Christ Jesus, not beating them over the head with it, not carrying people off kicking and screaming. Others do that. We don't. We love them because that's the orders that we've been given, the commandment. "I give you a new commandment," Jesus said, "love one another as I have loved you." And how much did Jesus love us? That much. Giving up his life for us. He says in our gospel today in John chapter 12, "Whoever serves me must follow me. For where I am, there my servant will be also, and the Father will honor that servant for that." We know that in this text today, Jesus expresses intense emotion because he knew that his passion was near. And when the Greeks started to come to him, that was some sort of a cue for Jesus to say, "Now the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." "Now my heart is heavy," he said. "But what should I say? Father, deliver me from this hour?" No, it was for this reason that I came to this hour. "Father, glorify your name." Single-minded focus on what he was here for, giving us the example of why we're here. I hear so many people all the time, it seems like, who say, "I don't know why I'm here. I don't seem to have any reason for being here. Father, I can't find any purpose for my life." I said, "Are you kidding? It's not, you can't find that reason, purpose, and meaning in yourself. It's from the one above. You've been given a reason for being here by God, who has called you to be here. None of us asked to be born at the time we were born, in the place we were born. But we have been given the Holy Spirit within us so that we share in the purpose and the meaning that God gave to his Son Jesus. We're here to change the world for him. And we can't do it on our own, especially since the enemy is always flashing things at us, trying to distract us. If you have a smartphone or an iPhone, you know all about that. And so do your children and your grandchildren. They know where hell is. They can find it. And the enemy is talking in their ear the whole time. "Hey, look over here. Look at this. Just check it. Click on this link." And yes, Satan uses our friends and family, sometimes unknowingly, when they send us things and say, "Click on this. You won't believe this." Oh, yeah. Don't ever click on something like that. get your Bible out and read it. Because the enemy is at work in places you don't expect. Let me give you an example. 1 week ago, last Sunday, we went to see one of the best movies I've seen in ages, the movie Cabrini, the story of a beloved saint of the church from the 19th century, Mother Frances Xavier Cabrini, a woman whose single-minded devotion to Jesus, even in the face of opposition from the Pope, even in the face of opposition from the Archbishop of New York, Mother Cabrini was actually told by the Archbishop of New York, get out of here and go back to Italy, because she was wanting to rescue kids who were living in the sewers. But they were Italian. Well, New York was not an Italian. They didn't want any more Italians. The hospitals didn't. So she came and started her own hospital. She started orphanages. She stood face to face with Pope Benedict XIII. Pope Leo XIII on several occasions. She had a passion to go to China. And the Holy Father said to her, no, Cabrini, go to New York. And so she did. And in her 67 years of life, she created 67, same number as her age, religious institutes all over the U.S., hospitals and orphanages and shelters for battered women. She took care of the least of the least, because God had called her to love them with the same love that Jesus has for us. And so as we were sitting in the theater waiting for the movie to start, and I know some of you have seen it. If you haven't, go see it, please. It is very inspiring, especially here right before Passion Week. As we were waiting for it to start, and the theater was mostly empty. It's a tragedy that people aren't going to see it. And we would have gotten up and walked out after the seven previews we saw. And you know, when you go to a movie and pay way too much money, and then if you get any food, it's way too much, and you get to see the feature, the coming attractions. You know, they show you the previews of coming movies. And there were about six or seven movies that were previewed. Every single one of those previews was rated R, bordering X. There was foul language. There was partial nudity. There was gunfire and people getting killed. There were people being abused. It was catastrophically bad. And we would have left. But we recognized Satan saying, hey, look over here at this stuff. Misdirection. Satan does not want us to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. All he can offer with those flashing lights and gunfire and promiscuity and horrible human trafficking that Hollywood is portraying, using mostly money from China now, it's taking our society down the way Satan wants us to go, and that's a one-way ticket to hell. We have another ticket that's already been bought and paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, a ticket in His blood to eternity with Him in His kingdom. See Cabrini. Don't watch the promos. That's the evil one. He doesn't want you to get anything out of the movie. He doesn't want us to get anything out of our faith. But our gospel story is also very clear that He is a defeated enemy. He has no power over us or authority. We need not fear Him. As Martin Luther wrote in his great hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, and though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed His truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness, grim, we tremble not for him, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. That one little word is the one who defeated him when he died on the cross. Jesus our Lord. I'm telling people nonstop, as much as I can, as this violence and extremism all over social media is getting worse, and Hollywood is getting worse, and everything seems to be targeting our children and grandchildren and us. Keep the name of Jesus here in your mind all the time. That's where he is. He's created a direct line, hardwired connection from heaven into your thoughts. Jesus hears everything you think. So talk to him in your thoughts. Use the name of Jesus often, not as an epithet. Use it as the name that is above all names, that in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, every time the name of Jesus is mentioned, even the demons in hell bow, because he is our Lord, and he loves you with his whole heart. He's here with you today so he can love you even more and give you blessings that you can take out into the world and share with others, starting with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control and courage and mercy and compassion. He gives those to us so that we can share them with others. Don't let the defeated enemy misdirect you. Everything that proceeds from his mouth and the mouths of his spokespeople, everything is a lie from the pit of hell. We don't have any use with it. Get thee behind me, Satan. We're following the Lord Jesus Christ on the way to eternity with him, not with you.